that. We'll just, now that I've got you all just all happy in the Lord, just remember that preached last week. Remember what God said to Nebuchadnezzar. What Daniel told him. He said, "The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." Just remember, God's in control. God's in control. God is in control. And if God's not in control, let's just go ahead and lock the doors and don't bother coming back to church if God's not in control. But I want to assure you that He is in control. And that's just where we're going to stand this morning. So what I want to do just for a few minutes is look in Psalm 119 just for a minute. I know we've only got a handful of minutes here before we go to the service here this morning. Psalm 119, look at verse number 1. I want to begin looking at a few things. This will be kind of an introduction to what we'll probably preach on this morning in the service here today, if the Lord will help us. The Bible says this in Psalm 119, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him," notice this, "with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways," notice that, "were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect in all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." Now I want to read the next one here, verse number 9, on down to a few verses here. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word." Now notice again, "With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord. Teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word." Now, Psalm 119 has 176 verses, more verses than any other one in any of the books. Now, you have the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet that show up. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, on down to, I think they just do the Sheen and the Tav. Or towel there here in the end of the verse there toward the end of the book, or end of the psalm rather. 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, 8 of those verses for each one of those. Now, I don't read Hebrew, so you'll have to just let me give you what other Hebrew people have shown. And if I were to show you a picture of what Hebrew looks like, you would thank God you have a Bible in English. Yeah, amen. So, yeah, that's exactly right. Now, in Psalm 119, the first 8 verses all begin with that Hebrew letter Aleph. In verses 9 through 16, all the verses begin with the letter Bet. In verses 17 through 24, they all begin with Gimel. Verses 25 through 32, they all begin with Dalet, all the way down. It's kind of an alphabetic. The way we would do it is we would start, if we were doing it in our language, the first 8 verses would be A. The next 8 verses would be B. The next 8 verses would be C, on down the line. And that's the way this particular psalm is written. It's a form of Hebrew poetry. And what the psalmist is doing is he is mentioning the law of the Lord in nearly every single verse in Psalm 119. 176 verses, not every one, but nearly every one of them mention the Word of God in one form or another. Just look down at verse number, look in the first section of 8. So let's look and just see how the Word of God is referred to here. He says here, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in," notice this, "the law of the Lord." That's verse 1. Verse number 2, the word is referred to by those that keep His testimonies. His testimonies. Verse number 3, we could probably say to walk in His ways. That may refer to the Word of God. Verse number 4, "Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently." Verse number 5, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes." Verse number 6 uses the word commandments. Verse number 7 uses the word judgments. There are several words that are used to define and describe what the Word of God is. And that's what Psalm 119 does. So when we see the word commandment, statute, precept, law, judgment, those words are used to describe that which has come forth out of God's mouth that is to be a help and a blessing in our lives. One of the ways that we can know that we're saved is that we are obedient to the Word of God. And in 1 John chapter 2, I think it's verse number 3, says this, "Hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments." Verse 4, "He that saith, I keep not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in it. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him." 1 John chapter number 2 says that we know God. We can evaluate in our hearts whether or not we truly are saved by keeping His commandments. The commandments in verse number in chapter 2 of 1 John are used in the sense here of the Word of God in general principle. When a person says, "I'm saved," and they walk in direct contradiction to what God says, you and I have every right to look at that tree and inspect the fruit. And someone says, "Well, preacher, you're judging." I'm not judging. But I'm going to tell you what, if I'm looking for an apple off of an apple tree, I'm not going to go to an unripe persimmon and take a bite out of that. God's people have fruit in their lives. God's people have fruit. And when God's people who truly know Him do not walk in the ways of God, you know what God will do? God will begin to deal in their hearts, touch them, draw them to Himself to get right. And if they don't want to get right, here's what God will do. God will isolate Himself from them. God will isolate Himself from them. One of the ways that I know that my heart is not right, say, "Preacher, you shouldn't say that." One of the ways that I know that my heart is not right is by my prayer life, my relationship with God. Let me show you a verse in the book of Hosea. So if you'll go over there, there's Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. After Daniel is the book of Hosea. Now I want you to look in the book of Hosea, chapter number 5. I want to show you a verse here that is extremely descriptive of what happens to a person who refuses to hear God because they have sin in their lives. Here's one way that God will speak to somebody. Hosea chapter 5. Everybody there? I don't want to start reading until everybody's there. Now, if you look in chapter number 5, he is talking about the people of God. He's telling them about their sins. He's recounting everything that they're doing. And then he talks to them as a punishment. Chapter 5, verse 12, "Therefore will I be unto Ephraim as a moth, and the house of Judah's rottenness." When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, "Then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb, but he could not heal you nor cure you of your wound." They sought help away from God. Verse 14, "For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion." Which would you rather have, the moth or the lion? I believe I tried to get right when the moth came on the scene. "For I'll be unto Ephraim as a lion, as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him." Now I want you to look at verse number 15, because I've got this highlighted in my Bible. Hosea 5:15 says this, "I will go and return to my place," notice this, "till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early." One of the first ways that God will begin to deal with somebody who is not living the life they ought to live is by withdrawing Himself from fellowship with that person. And God says, "I will go and return unto my place till they acknowledge their offense." How does a person get right with God? They have got to come clean before Him. You and I have got to be people who are willing to confess our sin before God. And we don't need to get to the point where we just start to confess sin. "Lord, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. You know, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Lord, I stole some stuff at work, or thought about stealing stuff at work. I lusted after so-and-so's wife. I was very covetous when it came to that person's house and his boat and his car, and I really wanted his job. So if you'd forgive me those, Lord, I'd really appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen." That's not asking for forgiveness. There has got to be a heart that is drawn out to God knowing that you have sinned. There has to be that. And without that attitude, I'm very concerned with people who can almost sin flippantly and with a high hand. You know, they're wanting high fives from people. Well, I can just get forgiveness for it and go on down the road. God will withdraw Himself from fellowship with one of His children when they sin and refuse to get right. So the first thing that God will do in that is He will withdraw Himself. Secondly, what will He do? If a person does not withdraw himself, He will send certain things into their lives. What happened to the Old Testament Jew? What happened? Well, we can see in the Old Testament reading all through, He sent storms. He sent famine. He sent drought. He sent insects to go in and wipe their crops out. I could go to the book of Amos and show you that. He sent blasting and mildew and all those type things, and they would not return to God. God began to chasten them in their possessions. They lost some of the things that they had. Then God would allow not just their possessions and their crops to be tampered with, their livelihood to be tampered with. God also would then bring in foreign nations to judge them. You see that all through the book of Judges. The Jewish people, the people of Israel, they loved God, they worshiped God. A new generation arose that decided we're going to follow the gods of the land, the gods of the Philistines. And what did God do? He sent the Moabites in there, the Midianites rather. And He sent the Philistines in there. He sent other nations in to rule His people because His people weren't right. And then last of all, what does God do? God begins to touch a person's body. God begins to chastise a person. Now that ought to be a very important thing for us to think about, that God will withdraw Himself, then He'll begin to afflict the things around us that affect us, the things we love, the things we need. And then after that, it's almost like He will then inflict pain upon our bodies. Now, first of all, do not think that just because a person's going through sickness means that they've sinned. That was the problem with Job's friends. They told him, "You've sinned, it's your fault. The reason all this has happened to you is because you've sinned." No, that was simply God in His great plan, His all-knowing wisdom, allowing Job to be toyed with by the devil so that God at the end of it could get glory from that whole thing. So just be aware of that. Now, I guess I said all that to say this. There is a, when we see the Psalm 119, we see that God's people are to have a particular attitude toward what the Bible says, toward what God says about certain things. And if you'll look at what the psalmist has his attitude, look with me, if you will, again in Psalm 119, verse number 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" How in the world are my kids? I've got two boys, 18, 16. David's what, 13, 14, something like that? Daniel's what, 15? Yeah, we've got some young boys in this room. Where are they going to cleanse their way? How in the world are we going to keep our young boys, our young men, right with God? How are they going to do that? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. Taking heed thereto according to Thy word. It would do good for us fathers in here to sit our boys down and go through the book of Proverbs, just men to men, and leave no stone unturned. Because there are some things that I have gone through and studied and seen. There are several things that the proverbist says that bring shame to the son, or shame to the parents. And there are three or four particular things that he mentions. One of those is the crowd you run with. One of those has to do with alcohol. The other one has to do with a strange woman. Dads, we need to sit down and talk with our children about that and let them know what's going on and prepare them for life. Just because a girl comes and bats eyes, she may be a floozy. Hey, man, that's right. I don't know if that's a word that they use up here in Indiana, but it just got used up here. Amen. And of course, even though it's written to a young boy, a young man, we can take those principles and then also turn them to where a young lady ought to know that just because the young man says, "Oh, I love you more than anything else," That doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything. That's why dads have guns. Say amen. That's right. I know when we're on the air, or at least we're going to put it on the internet anyway. Amen. So, having said that, wherewithal shall the young man cleanse away, but taking heed thereto according to thy word. Notice his attitude here. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Now, how many of us can really say that? What is our attitude toward God's word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander far from thy commandments. Seeking God and nearness to his commandments, seeking his person and the nearness to his commandments, the psalmist says, are one and the same. There are a lot of folks who try to divide and say, well, if you really know the word of God, that's really not knowing God. That's not necessarily the case. You and I cannot separate the person of God from what God, the person, has said. And really, we do the same thing. If a man looks at me and says, preacher, I can't come to church tonight because I've got to work. And then I have several witnesses come to me that say he was at a ball game that night, or several witnesses come and say he was out shopping, he was out camping or something like that. What do I think of a person like that? I heard the word, and I took the man at his word and then found out he did something else in contradiction to what he said. Can I divide what that person has said from who he is? I can't do it. If you can, God bless you. You're a better man than I am. When a man lies to me, he gets on a list that he hardly ever gets off of. I mean, I can go back in my life and look at kids in high school who lied to me. And when I see them, I count my change in McDonald's to make sure I got the right change. Because I know what they did in the past. Now, if they get saved, praise God. I'm not going to worry about counting the change. But having said that, there ought to be an attitude in our hearts that is subservient to what God says. And what we're going to do in the service this morning, as God helps us, there are several attitudes that God's Word in Psalm 119 particularly addresses in the life of the psalmist. And I want to kind of consider a few of those this morning as we go through the preaching time. And really, to challenge our hearts. Because as I went through and looked at some of these, I'm telling you, they really, really jumped out at me that there are some attitudes that even I need to check up on. I know you don't believe that. I mean, the pastor's supposed to be perfect. He's right. Everything's all right. Well, I'm just going to tell you, he's not. So just realize that there are some attitudes that I need to have some help with here that Psalm 119 deals with. And as the Lord helps us, we're going to come back and revisit some of this here this morning. We just want to build kind of a foundation here today and then look at some of these. So we will be in Psalm 119 unless the Lord just changes us around and has us go another direction this morning. But also keep in mind that verse in Hosea 5, and it says, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offense and seek my face, and their affliction they will seek me early. God will send affliction in our lives. God will send things in our lives to cause us to seek Him. So just be encouraged that if things do come in your life, there may be a reason for those that God is directing your heart back toward Him. And it could be that God's wheels of justice, His wheels of wisdom have been put into motion, that it may not stop right when you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I realize what I've done. There may be some things that God allows to happen and take place. I want to encourage you, though, to stay with God. Stay with Him. Don't leave Him. Don't leave Him this morning. So let's go ahead and be dismissed in prayer, and then we'll dismiss for a moment, and then we'll get ready for our service this morning. Brother Brown, would you dismiss our Sunday school hour, brother?